With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ghost Hunting in New England.
Your favorite spooky podcast. Hey everyone, happy Wednesday and welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England with your host Amelia.
And Beth.
Beth, you're home!
I am.
We missed you. How was Ireland?
It was very green.
Okay.
It was Ireland. It was wonderful.
Well, that is great to hear. I'm so glad you had a fun time and you brought me back some great soap.
I did. I did not find the espresso that you were looking for. Oh. I did look. I'm sure there is I drank lots of good espresso, but I just didn't have...
I'm sure espresso is really hard to find. Okay. I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
I'm now giving Amelia the finger.
It's a joke.
I mean, I saw like espresso in like the supermarket, but I figured you didn't want Nescafe espresso.
No, I can get that here.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Beth was gone. We listened to a lot of EVPs. And we had a really interesting talk with Dr. John.
Yes, that just came out last night and I heard that and it definitely had a lot of information in it that I had never considered. And I really liked the part where he talked about two-dimensional versus three-dimensional people.
I did too. That was my favorite part.
It was easy to understand for a simple layman like myself.
Ditto that.
Yes. So thank you, Dr. John.
Thank you, Dr. John.
And thank you, Mike and Lauren, for filling in for me the week before that.
Yes. Thank you, Mike and Lauren. They had a lot of fun doing that.
I'm glad. Did Mike sell that car?
Mike has not sold his car yet, and Lauren's not happy about that. So if anyone's in the market for a 2014 Nissan Altima, reach out to the show. We have one we can get for you.
Well, we're going to need a few more details, like how many miles are on it.
Jenna.
What color is it?
Blue.
It's blue. All right. And you still don't know how many miles are on it?
Nope.
Sorry.
Okay.
I have Ireland ghost stories on the brain today.
Good transition, Beth. I feel like I've done enough talking the past 2 weeks that this week is going to be mostly Beth talking. She brought us home some Irish ghost stories. So what are we going to hear about today, Beth?
So I thought that I would bring two of what I thought were the best stories that I found out about while I was there. And they were also two places that I was very close to. And one of them I actually visited and the other one I was about to go to. And my husband decided that we would rather go have dinner and we would go back later. But it just didn't happen. They're both from Northern Ireland, which is technically in the UK. So I specifically brought these ones because Amelia keeps talking about the fact that she wants stories from the UK.
I do want stories from the UK. All right. So here we go. Take it away, Beth.
So the first story is from the Dark Hedges. In the early 1800s, in County Antrim in Northern Ireland, James Stewart planted a series of beech trees along both sides of the driveway to his new property. He had inherited the land from his father and planned to build a mansion on the property and name it after his new bride, Grace.
It's really nice.
Don't you wish that somebody who had inherited some property wanted to name a place Amelia?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Or a restaurant.
There's a restaurant over in Stoughton, Canton. It's right on the line.
There's
called
one in Stoughton. Yeah. There's a bunch called Amelia's.
Oh, okay. Every time I drive by that, I think of you.
Oh.
I think it's an Italian place.
It's a seafood place.
Oh, so you couldn't go there anyway.
I can't go there, no.
And as the trees grew, they intertwined their branches far above the path, creating a stunning tunnel beneath the limbs the travelers would ride through as they approached the new Grace Hall mansion. Many of our listeners have likely seen the Dark Hedges, as they have been featured on a little show called Game of Thrones, where they were used as the setting for the King's Road when Arya escaped King's Landing dressed as a boy. The hedges are now a popular tourist attraction, and motor traffic on the road has been banned as the weight of tour buses and cars have been destroyed. The roots of the trees there.
Interesting.
So they found out as more and more people were showing up after season two that all of this traffic, few of the trees have actually fallen over. So there's a sign that says basically have reason to be there, like keep your car off this road. So everybody parks along the throughway going by it and it becomes like a traffic nightmare and people are like darting across the road and it was a little dangerous. However, while I was there, not a single person I spoke with knew that the hedges are haunted. Everyone thought we were just there because they had been on on Game of Thrones.
Quick question. Mm. Was this because you were on a Game of Thrones tour?
It absolutely was because I was on a Game of Thrones tour. So the spirit that frequents the hedges is known as the Grey Lady. Now, I want to point out that it's Grey, G-R-E-Y, not G-R-A-Y. And do you know what the difference is?
One's a color and one's a name?
No. G-R-E-Y is how the English spell it, and G-R-A-Y is how the Americans spell it.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
It's like we don't have a U in color or favorite. But
or magic.
No, they don't put a U in magic either. This isn't really like, there's no I in team. Like, what did you mean to say?
I can't believe I just said that. No, because I don't know what I meant to say. I'm sorry to our UK listeners. Please write in and correct me and send me a ghost story. Okay, let's go.
The story is the Grey Lady appears beneath the trees at dusk, and she glides along the road towards Grace Hall Mansion. When she gets to the last tree along the hedge, she disappears. She's described as tall and thin with a grey, dressing gown. There are no reports of her attempting to interact with people, simply a woman out for a stroll beneath the trees at dusk. And there are several theories about who the woman was in life. One theory is she was a maid on a nearby farm who was having an affair with James Stewart, and she walks each evening under the trees waiting for him to join her for a stroll. Another theory is that she is Cross Peggy, James Stewart's daughter. There is no explanation for why she is called Cross Peggy, only that her nickname is mentioned in many genealogies. However, she did live to 89 years old, and she never married. Was she never married because she was cross, or was she cross because she was never married? Amelia, your thoughts on that?
Shut the hell up, Beth. Plenty of people don't get married by a certain age, and there's nothing wrong with it. You can look it up online, it's fine.
Anyway, so you were unhappy about the idea that I queried you about whether she was cross because she never married, or she never married because she was cross?
Maybe she just was a little cross, and maybe she worked a lot and just couldn't find the right person.
She was a rich guy's daughter. She didn't work.
You know, I think in my next lifetime, I want to be independent.
I would like to be that at some point in this lifetime. I don't really want to wait. In my next life, I want to be a house cat.
I think that's a step back, karmic-wise.
No.
Okay.
Have you met my cats? My cats have the life. I think this is the first time we've ever mentioned my cats on here. We always talk about Liddy. The last theory is that the spirit is a lost soul from an abandoned graveyard nearby. She's reported to be restless now that her graveyard is abandoned and has become one of the forgotten dead. There's an additional part of the story about other souls and spirits from that same graveyard revisiting the earth on Halloween night and walking with the Grey Lady down the path toward Grace Hall Mansion. As for sightings of the Grey Lady, there was allegedly a picture taken of her in 2015 by a man named Gordon Watson from the nearby town of Ballycastle. Gordon says he was at the dark hedges at dusk one day and taking pictures of trees, and when he got home and looked at his photos, there was an image of a woman in gray flying through the air in front of him. The newspaper articles quoted another well-known photographer who also saw the original images and proclaimed them authentic. I don't know. I've looked at the pictures. I don't have like a fancy degree in photography or anything, but I think that they could be faked.
Did you bring them in for me to look at?
They're on the interwebs.
Okay, put it on our website.
So that's the story of the hedges and the Grey Lady at the hedges.
That's it?
What else do you want?
I don't know. Have there been any recent sightings?
Yes, in 2015, somebody took a picture of her.
Oh, you said that?
You were on your phone.
That was a really provoking story. I really enjoyed it.
Amelia's not going to be allowed to have her phone during her podcast. She can't pay attention to the story that I'm reading in order to get her reaction to it. I don't think she cared about my trip to Ireland.
I really cared about your trip to Ireland. I texted you every day while you were there.
And the fact that I worked so hard to make sure that I brought home stories from the UK.
And you did, and they're great.
All right, so story number two.
Woo!
So one of the things that kept happening while I was driving all over Ireland is I was being corrected that I was saying things wrong. So I thought that I was staying at a place called the Culloden, but I was told that no, it's actually the Culloden. And then I thought I was going to a place called Donegal, but I was told it's Donegal. Their syllable rules and their emphasis rules don't make any sense. They don't have any sort of logic to them, and they don't follow any sort of phonics rules for vowels.
I mean, that's fine.
No, it's not.
I think about all the stupid things we say over here.
It doesn't matter. I'm used to those things. Well, I feel like I should be able to like read signs in other places. So, I mean, they're written in English. I mean, everybody was really nice about how they corrected me. But anyway, the point of my story is I am probably going to pronounce the name of this house wrong. I'm going to say Prehen. P-R-E-H-E-N. The Prehen House. There's a long history of ownership of the Prehen House in Derry, Londonderry. And the short version is that one of the English kings gave the land to the Knox family way back in the 1500s, and generations came and went, and eventually the house is inherited by Andrew Knox, who is the Member of Parliament for Donegal. Apparently he's a pretty important dude. So he built a house on that land in 1740, and this is where our story is going to unfold. Andrew Knox and his heiress wife, Honoria Tompkins,
had We have another heiress in here? Wasn't the last ghost an heiress?
The gray lady?
Yeah.
Well, she could have been. Okay. Nobody's exactly sure who she is. So Andrew Knox and his heiress wife, Honoria Tompkins. And normally I don't give like the full names or anything.
That's a great name though.
That's what I'm saying. Honoria Tompkins.
Honoria. Yeah. That's beautiful.
I mean, it sounds a little bit like gonorrhea, but...
No. Oh my goodness.
But at the same time, honoria just sounds terrific. It also kind of sounds like diarrhea, but I really liked Honoria Tompkins. Amelia's over here like totally facepalmed. Like she just can't believe some of the things.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the story.
Andrew Knox and his heiress wife, Honoria Tompkins, had a daughter, Marianne. And as Marianne grew up, she was admired in town. She was like the it girl. Everybody wanted a piece of Marianne. So she's growing up. She's learning all the stuff that you need to learn when you're an heiress's daughter and you're intending to be the next heiress. And I believe she's an only child. So she's like 15 and everybody's all over. At the same time, her father, Andrew, has this other friend, John McNaughton. And he's known John since boyhood. The two of them went to school together. They are, you know, just chumps. John, at the age of 30, has already inherited and squandered a fortune on gambling. He is just a degenerate gambler. He's a drunkard. He's just like a loser. But he's Andrew's like oldest friend. So when he's in all this debt in Dublin for all this money that he owes people, Andrew's like, come out and stay at my house out in Londonderry here and just kind of lay low. So John moves out to Londonderry, moves into the house, and proceeds to put the moves on Marianne.
Yucky.
I mean, it's the 1700s, so it wouldn't have been that unusual for a 30-year-old man to be going on with a 15-year-old girl. Like, nobody would have batted an eye at that. The problem was...
That it's gross.
He was after her money. The idea that he was going to get her dowry by getting the girl that everybody wanted.
Can I say something?
Of course.
If you were listening to this and you were thinking about dating a woman for her money, you're a jerk. Yeah. I want that out there. I want me recorded saying that.
Also, if you have lots of money, please get in touch with Amelia because she would like to date you as a man. I'm just going to put that on record as the other half of what Amelia's not saying.
That is not true. That is not true at all. Amelia pays all of her own bills. She's a strong, independent woman, but she does not like it when people try to get her to pay their bills.
Does that happen often?
Yeah, people think I have money. I don't. If you're trying to do that and you think I might, I don't.
Well, but you could be an heiress. There could be a secret trust fund.
Definitely not an heiress.
All right, where was I? John McNaughton is all over Marianne. He's meeting with her on the sly and they're carrying on. He convinces Marianne that her father has promised him that the two of them will be married and it's all okay. Where it gets kind of interesting is I can't get a straight answer on whether they actually married or not. But either way, as soon as Andrew and Honoria find out about this ploy, they grab Marianne and they're about to whisk her off to safety.
Okay.
You following me? Mm-hmm. She's putting on makeup over there in the middle of our story.
I gotta look good.
It's just me here.
I wanna look good for you, though.
Thanks.
Okay, whisked off to safety.
Okay. They whisk her off to safety. Marianne gets bundled up in a carriage, and she's being moved from Londonderry to a secret, hidden safe house in Dublin. Now, John McNaughton hears about this, and he's like, well, that's not gonna happen. And he hatches his own plan. And his plan is that he and his buddy are going to go and ambush the carriage. They're going to kill Andrew Knox. And John's going to marry Marianne. And now not just get the dowry, but Marianne would be the sole inheritor of the entire estate. So he would get all of Andrew Knox's money. So we got these two different plans going on. And they crash into each other and intersect at this little bridge in Derry.
Right? Is this where the ghost comes in?
I'm getting to... I have to give you like the whole story.
I know. I know, you like a good lead up.
I do.
I think it's great.
And I like to know, like, well, why is there a ghost there? Not just that there is one. So anyway, so the carriage gets ambushed. It's not far from the Prien house. And John comes up and he shoots through the window. And instead of getting Andrew, you know he kills Marianne.
Oh my goodness.
So his betrothed, his love, the woman he was going to get all the money from, is now dying. And so they bring her back to Prien house and they lay her out on the dining room table. And he's really upset.
Yeah, he just killed a kid.
She's 15. In the 1700s, she's getting to be an old maid. If she had made 20 and she wasn't married, like, she was done. She was cross Peggy at that point.
Yeah, sensitive subject. All right, keep going.
So as Marianne's laying on the table, John is getting more and more distraught. And of course, the local constabulary shows up and they arrest him. and they drag him out of there before Marianne dies. And this is important because now Marianne dies and John is taken off to the gallows. He gets obviously tried and convicted of killing Marianne. They put him on the gallows and they try to hang him, except the rope breaks and there's a, you know, big crowd of people around. So pandemonium breaks out and he could have run away and escaped and been okay. But he's like, I don't want to be known as a half-hung man.
I mean, what man wants to be known as a half-hung man?
That's what I'm saying. They put him up on the gallows again. He stays and he go to hang him and the rope breaks a second time. And now it's like they don't know what to do because there was actually a law on the books that said you could not hang a man three times.
That's incredible. I like that. That's like spooky laws. Not spooky, but like tricky laws.
Why would you need that sort of laws?
Because that means like they're not supposed to die. There's a reason for them.
Well, they weren't going to let this guy get away with it. So they passed a new law that said, yes, you can hang a man three times.
Oh.
And so they hung him the third time. And this time, thankfully, it took. Mm. And so he was hung. So now this guy that didn't want to be known as half-hung McNaughton, the name stuck. Now we get to the ghost part.
Great. There we go.
This is what Amelia's been waiting for. And, you know, I've spent 15 minutes talking about all the buildup. And now I'm going to spend 35 seconds talking about the ghost.
Tune in for Beth's next podcast, History of Stories.
It's reported that Marianne still wanders the grounds. There is a young girl who is seen walking around and she just appears to be looking for someone or something. And so there are reports that
probably her fiance.
That's so sad. Because he was taken away before she died, she's still there looking for him.
That's so sad.
I know, right?
I hate that.
Well, now we have John McNaughton, half-hung McNaughton. He's still there, too.
They can't find each other?
Apparently. So he loiters around the grounds. He just, like, hangs out.
Oh my gosh.
People will be walking around, and they'll see him sitting places. Or, if you're very lucky, in the middle of the night, he will climb into bed with you.
Half-hung McNaughton climbing into bed with you? I don't know.
There are a lot of reports. The most recent owner of the property, his name was Colin Peck. He treated it like a bed and breakfast, that he would tell all the stories and the history of the house. And he was probably much better at it than I just was. But lots of people would stay there and have this story that in the middle of the night, like as they're sleeping, they felt something get into bed with them. Obviously, there's no person there. Like, you're pretty sure you notice a person is now next to you in bed. And Colin Peck said it even happened to him. As he was getting into bed one night, some figure got into bed with him and just laid there for a while. I don't know. I thought it was very interesting. And then the last part of it, this Colin Peck guy who had been operating the house for years and years, he was found dead one morning in the house under very mysterious circumstances. The speculation is that John McNaughton came back and finished the job with Colin Peck. So now there are new people who own the house. They're a private family and they won't let anybody come in.
Let's talk about something interesting. In that story, you have two ghosts trying to find each other, and they can't find each other.
Even though they're at the same place.
That breaks my heart. That's so sad. And there's a romance to that.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be what hell is? Could that be their version of hell? You just want to find this person, and you can't. And you just roam around for eternity.
What an interesting idea.
Yeah.
That would be terrible.
I know.
If I was looking for Sean everywhere and couldn't find him.
Yeah.
And then to find out we're basically like circling around each other, like around the outside of the house.
But you never find out.
And yeah.
You're just stuck looking for them.
Oh.
I know, that's so sad.
That is sad.
If you love someone, just tell them.
Love you, Shano.
Maybe it's like some kind of weird purgatory. Mm. I don't know.
So anyway, there are my two Ireland ghost stories from
What am I talking about? He killed her. Like, that guy's a jerk.
Accidentally. He meant to kill her father and take all
the money. Yeah, he was using her for money. So now this poor girl is stuck for eternity or until she decides to pass over looking for this guy she's so in love with. He didn't even love her. He was just using her for the money.
This escalated so quickly.
Sorry, I was getting all bummed out and then I really started thinking about it. And I'm like, no, this guy sucks. What a jerk. Don't try to use women for money. Ugh.
Tune in next week for Amelia Gets Angry. There's like actually steam coming out of her ears right now.
I'm getting riled up.
Those are my two stories from Northern Ireland, from the UK, that I brought and wrote all the way for you.
Great. I really appreciate it. Those were good stories. I like the second one the best.
Because it made you sad and then it made you angry.
It's a whole emotional roller coaster going on with that story.
You really didn't like the one about the dark hedges?
Yeah, I liked it.
I know. You wanted more ghosts, but I like more history behind the ghosts.
I know, but we're on a ghost podcast.
Well, I got to the ghosts.
Good stories, Beth.
Thanks. So what else we got?
We got a bunch of mail. We got
I like mail.
Yeah.
You got mail.
We have emails. Oh, wait, that's the same thing.
I mean, unless like a carrier pigeon really showed up here, but I kind of thought you were talking about that as a joke.
We have a new 5-star review we could talk about. We could give a little teaser to next week's episode.
Let's not do that because if it doesn't happen.
No, it's going to happen. We already recorded stuff for it. I got a lot of audio.
I think that the episode will be fine. I think that we get ourselves into trouble when we start talking about things that we haven't actually recorded yet. Because then next week you might be going like, I know we said we were gonna, but I always get ahead of myself. So I'm going to stop doing that. I believe those are your exact words.
Yeah. Okay, so I think next we should do 5-star reviews because we only got one this week, but it's a really good one. It makes me smile. This week's 5-star review is Wonderful Podcast from CDP Viola. I think that's it.
CDP Viola.
Yeah.
Could be Viola.
I think it's Viola because that's my mom's middle name.
Well, it used to be. She's fancy. She changed her name.
This is my 9-year-old daughter's favorite spooky podcast. We love to listen to episodes on the weekend during long rides. Happy hauntings. Chrissy from NC. Thank you so much, Chrissy, and shout out to your 9-year-old daughter. We are so happy to have you as a fan.
I have to tell you, I do the same thing with my 9-year-old son. So we're not really into the podcasts in the car, but I get the stories on Audible, and he really enjoys them. So I'm glad that we're not the only family that's bonding over shared listening in the car on long rides.
Yeah, spooky listening. Yeah.
Thanks for writing in.
Thank you so much for leaving us a review. Again, shout out daughter. That's great. Is that our confirmed youngest listener so far?
I think it is.
If anyone else really young's listening, right on in.
We have a couple of drive-by ghostings. I mean, we didn't get any like regular mail of like, hey, Amelia, here's a shirtless picture or anything, but we definitely have like
Don't want shirtless pictures. You keep trying to get people to send them to me. I don't want them.
Send ghost hunting in New England your shirtless pictures and I'll send them to Amelia.
Please don't. Like if you're a woman and you like want to with some like shared feminist bonding over body image, I'm totally down. But if you're a guy, please leave your shirt on. Please.
So we have 3 stories that we can read for you tonight. Amelia has apparently appointed me the official readers. We have a story from Charlie in Rhode Island. We have a story from Daniel in Australia. And we have a story from Mike in Arizona. Here we go. My name is Charlie, and this is my story. I was hired at Wheaton College as a steam fireman. Whenever you started a new plant, you usually will work with the existing crew on all shifts until you know the plant well enough to be on your own.
Just so we're clear, Wheaton College, that's in Massachusetts, not Rhode Island, right?
Yep. It all started on third shift watch. I was being trained by a man named Russ. He asked me to go and take the temperature of all 4 oil tanks. These tanks were in the building in a series of 4 rooms, almost like catacombs. To access the rooms, you would walk up 5 stairs and go through a fireproof door. This was a very heavy steel door with a thick bar that would drop in place when you closed and secured the door. Whenever you went in, it was better to leave the door fully open in case you had to get out quickly. On this night, I took my equipment and went into the tank room. Russ was about 150 feet away in the pump room. No sooner than getting to the bottom of the steps, the door slammed shut with considerable force. Thinking Russ might be playing tricks on me, I rushed back up the stairs to see if he did it. I opened the door and called for him. He then walked out of the pump room and asked, "What's up?" I asked if he shut the door on me, and he said he was working on a pump. Later that night, while we were having a break, I asked him if anyone has ever seen anything unusual here. He said, "Listen, man, we don't like to talk about it here." And then he told me he saw a man standing at the other side of the boiler room once. He ran down to catch him, and there was no one there. Keep in mind that he always had the doors deadbolted for security reasons, as college kids when they drink get curious and brave. When I was able to be on my own, I was assigned the overnight shift. One night, as I was sitting at my desk, I heard something behind me, and I turned to see what the noise was. We had a large welder on wheels, and it was moving slowly toward me. Then the gas bottle, which is about 4 feet tall and chained to the wall, fell to the ground. I watched as the chain dropped, and the chain is secured to the wall with a bolt. I calmly walked over and replaced and secured the gas bottle and put the welder back where it came from. But inside, I was terrified. I couldn't rationalize how this could happen. Now, while you're on duty, you have to take readings every hour. This would be when I'd catch glimpses of a man. He was always the same, dressed in green dickie work pants with a green plaid shirt and a hat. On one night, my clearest vision of him was when I was headed to the pump room. He went from the right side of the door to the left side and disappeared. Now understand this. The right side of the door is a wall with 2 tanks and various piping. I never got comfortable with my sightings, but it never really scared me either until one night. I was sitting at my desk doing my time card on the computer. We had a small fan on the desk as boiler rooms tend to get very hot. This fan has been in the same spot for as long as I've been there. It suddenly started to move across the desk. It went until it fell off the side. Then the pencil holder fell on its side and rolled off the desk and across the floor. Again, I kept my composure and picked up the items and put them back where they belong. My heart was beating 100 miles an hour. I would relay this information to the supervisor when he came in to relieve me in the morning, and he would basically dismiss me and sometimes berate me. That was about the time I figured I should look for another job. I eventually moved on to bigger and better things. I really don't think he was a malevolent spirit, as he never did anything to hurt me. I just thought it might be a past employee that died and is stuck here for some reason. I hope to hear back from you sometime. Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie. Great story.
Yes, Charlie. Thank you.
That was spooky.
It was. I like stories that happen in basements with stuff falling. Like, that's that's pretty frightening. I mean,
classic.
I don't want to be in that basement where stuff is, like, falling, and that would be pretty frightening for me. But I like those stories from other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
Have a look at this.
You know what that sound clip means.
We have another story from Daniel in Australia.
Woo!
Here we go. As a teen living in a small rural town in a house backing onto the bushland, my friends and I would walk all over the hills around the town. But certain parts gave us the chills. Often we couldn't put a reason in it, but other places we could. Alongside a rural road, there were two empty houses a couple of 100 meters apart. One, a 1940s home that had been empty for a couple of years, and the other was a vertical board shack come small house that had been empty for 15 years or more. Frequently, as teens are wont to do, we would enter the shack and look around the place. Often a couple of us would see the impression of a short, slightly stout old woman in a long, light-colored, simple dress and a dark apron. She sounds like me. We would all get a feeling of dread.
When do you wear aprons?
When I'm cooking, but I was more talking about the short, stout old woman.
You're not old.
I'm definitely short, stout, and not young.
No, you're beautiful.
We would get a feeling of dread when she appeared, even those who couldn't see her. She would stand there looking angry, hands clenched by her side. I believe she was angry that we were trespassing in her house. A few years ago, the house was pulled down and the timber used elsewhere. The only thing that remains is the floor slab, and every spring thousands of bow wild old-style daffodils where the old gardens used to be. The feeling of dread remains any time someone walks past the location, so I believe she is still there, watching over her little plot of land. The other house had a tragedy connected to it. Don't all haunted buildings? The story as to why it was empty is tainted, as rumor and friend of a friend's friend has convoluted the storyline. The closest thing to the truth is that the owners just got too old to maintain a farm on a steep block, so moved to a small house in the suburbs and sold the property. The more exciting story goes that they moved because of the mental anguish of losing a preschool-aged daughter, their only child, and the terror of her haunting their house. The haunting turned out to be true, but only started after the owners had retired and moved out. I heard a first-hand account from some older friends who experienced a haunting incident there on the anniversary of the child's death. The child's death has its own mystique associated with it. Allegedly, the parents went out for the evening, and an uncle from just up the road babysat the child at the parents' home. When the parents returned, the uncle was asleep on the couch, and the child was nowhere to be seen. Frantic searches were done, but she was never found, nor any sign of a body. My friends had heard stories once the house became empty that it was haunted, so the three boys decided to camp in the house overnight. To increase the chances of success, they slept in three separate rooms in what was essentially a 4.5-room house.
There's some brave boys.
Late at night, around 10, they all heard the screaming voice of a terrified young girl, screaming, "Mummy! Mummy! Help me! Mummy!" over and over again for about 5 minutes. During this time, the three boys were running from room to room, trying to work out where the voice was coming from. Each one swore that it always sounded like it came from the next room, even though one of the other boys was in the next room and also said it sounded like it came from another room. Two of the boys were so shocked by the event that they walked, ran like demons were on their tails, more like it, home through essentially pitch-black bushland back to our town, a distance of about 1.5 kilometers. The third boy stayed behind but heard no further noises and slept soundly after midnight. The rumor is the uncle murdered the child and buried her on the property. I believe she's still buried there, even if it wasn't the uncle that killed her. At one spot on the property, I could always feel a coldness and felt like a small child was trying to cuddle my legs. I believe that she is buried at that spot in what is the only flat, deep-soiled area on the property. The house has changed hands a few times since being demolished, and the foundations were used to build a newer house. Word going around from the locals is that on the anniversary, the child's ghost comes back to call out to her mommy, reenacting the last moments of her life.
That's awful. I mean, it was a very well-written story, Daniel, and thank you for sending it to us, but that's tragic. My heart's broken.
You're having a lot of really tough moments tonight with our stories.
I know.
Do you want to get angry about this one?
No, I don't. I just want to feel really sad. That's awful.
Well, you can be mad about the uncle having possibly murdered her.
Mad that anyone did anything to this kid.
Yeah.
That I'm very mad about, okay. But I mean, that's tragic.
I like his detail in here about ran like demons were on their tails, more like it.
Daniel is a fantastic writer.
He is.
I really enjoy all of his stories he sends mm-hmm. us.
I would very much like, Daniel, if you would record one of your stories and send it and we can...
So I have asked him for that.
Yes.
And his response has been that none of us would be able to understand his Australian accent.
I think that if he speaks slowly, we would be able to understand him.
I have trouble with accents. Okay. Even Dr. John sometimes, when he was in here, I had a little trouble.
Okay.
Because he has an accent.
I just ask people to repeat what they said. Sometimes I repeat what I think they said, and it's usually nothing close to what they said. I do it to be funny.
Do they laugh?
Sometimes. Well, thank you, Daniel. That was another terrific story.
Thank you, Daniel.
And we are working through your thesis of ghost stories that you sent us.
Indeed. And we're so excited because now we have another listener who did the same thing, sent us a bunch of stories. So here we go. Beth, let's hear this email.
All right. So this is from Mike. Heya.
Hey.
First, let me say thank you for an awesome podcast.
You are welcome.
I also find you through the Unbelievers podcast. I moved from Western Mass to Phoenix last fall. It's been rough and I'm super homesick and ghost hunting is warming my grumpy ass New Englander heart.
God bless you.
Not that anything needs warming out here in the summer. Dry heat, my bum. One of the huge things I miss about New England is the spooky feel. I'm not much of a city person, and it's hard to feel the energy of a place when most of it has been built up in the last 25 years. Too new, too much pavement. No water. It's different and feels very dead. Thanks for keeping me connected to old farmhouses and quirky residual spirits I love so much. I've been mentally compiling my ghostings for a few weeks now. I don't have any one big story, but lots of little ones.
I think what Mike needs to do is check out Sedona, Arizona, because that place is bomb.com. That's my favorite place I've ever been to. Mike, check it out. Send me pics. I want to see it. I went there. They called me an indigo child.
That's because you have dark hair.
Nope. That's not what an indigo child is.
Well, I don't know.
I don't really believe in them, but they said I was one.
It's like a black-eyed kid.
No, it's like higher vibration sent to like bring peace to the world.
Oh, you're a hippy-dippy kid.
I am a hippie kid.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. I'm special. Someone give me a star. Anyway.
And a donut.
And a donut. I'm so hungry. I really wish someone would bring me a snack. Okay. So I think we need to debut his clip. So this right here is what we're going to hear for the next few weeks. Will we read off all of Mike's stories? Because we're not going to get to all of them tonight, but we're going to read one tonight. Here's his clip.
We got to call the aquarium or something, dude.
And it's a good one. All right. Here we go.
I was recently talking to my mom about the ghost of the little boy she used to see in our house when I was a toddler. I remembered about it when I was out visiting in June with my 3-year-old daughter. In true form, I woke up around 3 a.m. I was sleeping upstairs in my parents' house with my kid, my parents downstairs on the futon. I got up, used the bathroom, and heard a little plonk on the floor, followed by a quiet stomp, stomp, stomp of little feet from the bedroom to the stairs. My parents' house is a log cabin, and there's no buffering between the ceiling and the floor. It's just crossbeams and floorboards. The house is always creaky, and you can't walk around without being heard. It was fun trying to be a teenager, let me tell you. My parents built the house in the mid-70s right after getting married, and the land was an old cow pasture owned by my grandparents, given as a wedding present. I'll get to the farmhouse next. The house was new, right? But still, when my mom would come home from overnight shifts nursing, she would always find my toys strewn all over. And she was always mad at Dad for not getting me to clean up. One night she woke up to use the bathroom, and downstairs was a little dark-eyed Indian boy playing with my toys. She looked at him, said he could play as much as he wanted as long as he picked up after, and the toys were never left out again. And this summer, someone was checking on my little girl sleeping in bed. Chomp, chomp, chomp. Not sure if it's that little boy is tied to the land or the trees that built the house, but the farm had been there for like 200 years, and who knows what could have happened in all that time.
Great story.
That was a good story.
That was an awesome story.
I like stories of little kids who are there, like just checking on other little kids.
I mean, I don't like that they're little kid ghosts.
But if they have to be little kid ghosts.
I'm glad they're happy. And it's interesting, too, because he said it could be tied to like the land or the woods. And what would we call that?
Stone tape theory.
Bam! There we go.
Thanks, Dr. John.
All coming around. Thank you, Dr. John.
Thank you to everyone for your drive-by ghosting stories.
Yeah, thank you. Please send us more.
Yeah, send us more of them. And please, please, please consider recording yourself telling your story, because we would love to have your voice on here instead of mine.
I like your voice, Beth.
Oh, thanks. I grew it myself, you know.
Oh, wow. That was funny. That was a good joke. Yeah, thanks everyone. And especially if you are listening from the UK. Oh my gosh. We forgot to say it. We have a listener in Japan and we have no idea who they are. And I really want them to send us a story. Japanese ghost stories are the best.
If you're in Japan, send us a story, please.
Please send us a story.
Because Amelia might like fly out of her chair here.
I might. Oh my gosh. I found that out. I was so excited.
I think it's neat that people all over the world are listening to us.
I think it's amazing. Thank you, everyone.
We have Australia and India and a bunch of places all over Europe.
Yeah. Denmark. Yeah.
We got Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the U.S. Do we have any South America?
No.
No.
We got that South America.
No hablo español.
What else do we have to talk about today, Beth?
I never have anything else to talk about except the contact information because it's getting late and I am hungry.
I'm a little bit hungry too. Okay, let me think really hard what else we have to talk about. Next week, we have a really awesome episode coming out and you should get really excited. We have an episode coming out after that that's also really awesome and exciting.
But we can't give you any details because if they don't pan out, then she has to come on and apologize.
That's true. I just get really excited about things and I want them to work out and, you know.
Yeah, she.
But it's my life, so they don't. No, I'm just kidding. Everything works out.
Everything works out. It's fine.
Everything's great.
Stop getting too far ahead of yourself.
I'm so happy. Everything's perfect.
You're just making more editing work for yourself.
I really am. All right, so let's see. What else we have? My friend Kat and I still worked on that article together about museum ghosts. It's finished. It's coming out in September. Please go see don'ttakepictures.com and subscribe to her magazine. It's so beautiful. It's really, the magazine itself is a work of art. So please go support Kat, support a small female-owned business out of Brooklyn, New York. Can I talk about the documentary we were asked to be on, or should I keep that hush-hush too?
We were on a documentary?
We were asked to be on.
We were asked to be in a documentary?
Yes, I told you this.
I don't listen to you.
I know you don't listen to me. All right, we'll keep that quiet too. I'll explain it to Beth after. She doesn't know what I'm talking about. Do we have any other thoughts?
I need a job.
Beth needs a job, so please hire her with benefits.
Actually, I was hoping somebody might write me a letter of recommendation.
Or write Beth a letter of recommendation. Either way. Also, I applied for a TV show to be a witch. So please send me good vibes for that. Beth sent me the thing and I sent them an email and I really want to be a witch on TV.
Well, you're a witch in real life.
Yeah, that's what everyone keeps telling me.
Oh, come on. You set me up for that. I couldn't let that one go.
I know. Okay, Beth, do you want to go over contact info?
We are on Facebook, Ghost Hunting in New England. We are on Instagram, Ghost Hunting in New England. We are on Twitter, Ghost Hunting NE. Amelia is actually on Twitter as well now, so by all means, follow Amelia on Twitter.
Yeah, ar.childs, and same on Instagram, and I need more Twitter friends, so please follow me.
Go follow Amelia.
Please do. I only have 8.
She's desperate for friends.
I'm so desperate for friends.
You have to go out and join some groups, and that's where you'll get all your Twitter followers.
I'm part of so many groups and clubs.
But no, like Twitter groups.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
I don't know how to use the internet.
So Twitter, you have to like join the chats. So it's tough because
I'm not going to do that.
You're exactly going to do that because that's what you live for. Once you find out the hashtags and when the chats are happening, you'll be all over them. Anyway, so go follow Amelia on Twitter.
Yeah.
But follow us too. We have a website, www.ghosthuntinginnewengland.com. You can email us, ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. And as Amelia likes to say, you can send a carrier pigeon to the Somerville Media Center if you want to send us snail mail.
Or bird mail.
Or bird mail.
It's a carrier pigeon.
It's too late for this.
Oh, yeah. And please be sure to check out our website, ghosthuntinginnewengland.com. Please subscribe to our website so you can get my weekly emails. Please send us your 5-star reviews. Please, please, please. iTunes podcasts. We love to read them. We'd love to get them. Thank you so much again to Chrissy and her 9-year-old daughter. That really warmed my heart.
Don't send us a 1-star review. That's mean.
That's so
mean. And that says so much about you and who you are as a person.
It's true. It really is. Yeah, that's a reflection.
Like, who leaves a 1-star review? And if you accidentally left one, that's nonsense.
Yeah. So if you don't think our show deserves 5 stars, please send us a private message and let us know what we can do to make the show a little bit better for you.
Send shirtless pictures for Amelia.
Please don't. All right. Anyway, if you're in a restaurant and they say they don't have something that's on the menu, guess what? They don't have it. So you don't have to ask a second time.
Are you sure?
No, I'm very sure.
Positive?
Not even in the back.
What if they put
Not even in the back.
What if they put up a sign out front that says, "We're out of chicken"?
Yeah.
Are you sure that they don't have a chicken out back?
I'm so sure.
What if I brought them some chicken? Do you think that they would cook it for me?
I'm not even going to identify that with a response.
That was the best case ever.
All right, guys. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Happy hunting.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.